Now, if we continue our studies on the Israel's pilgrimage census, we started some weeks ago. And if we can remember, we started by looking at this. The Lord commanded Moses to take census of the people of Israel while they were on their journey to the promised land. And I think we had four. So we have done the two. And last week, we looked at the second one, which was recorded in Numbers 1, verse 1 to 4. And just remind ourselves of that census. It was conducted so that Israel could raise an army for the battles which their enemies would rage at them while they take possession of the promised land. So that census was taken so that those who were able to go to war would be enlisted. The army of Israel to battle the enemies of the land that they were going to take possession. And indeed, we said this reminds us, those who are Christians, also of the spiritual warfare which we are engaged for the peace and comfort in our souls. And we should always be mindful of that, that if we are saved, we have been put into the spiritual warfare, and that we are ever watching out and becoming more concerned for that, because without our consistent fight, we lose the joy and comfort and peace of the Christian life. So tonight we continue with the third census, and so this will be the part three of the Israel pilgrimage censuses, part three. So we turn to Numbers chapter 3. We have the census. Numbers chapter 3, and we read the purpose of this census from verse 5 to 8, and I think 14 to 16. So I'll read to you. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near, and present them before Aaron the priest, and they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge, and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do the service of the tabernacle. And he shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. Now Acts you verse 14 to 16. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, number the children of Israel, the children of Levi, after the house of their fathers, by their families, every male from a month old and upward, shalt thou number them. And Moses numbered them according to the word of the Lord, as he was commanded. Okay, so we have the purpose of this census. They were to be numbered. The tribe of Levi were to be assigned to the service of the Lord, that they were to be numbered. And the service of the Lord in the tabernacle of the congregation was to be appointed to them, that they will assist the work. And we know that it was the Lord who commanded Moses to erect the tabernacle for his worship when he redeemed the people of Israel from Egypt on their way to the promised land. And the tabernacle was also the only place on earth where God was worshipped, or where God appointed for his worship, where God accepts worship in all the earth. So that in all the earth, only the people of Israel had a place where God is pleased so that he be worshipped. So it was a special place that God has instituted for them. And so that the place was holy and the glorious among all the places of the earth. It was the holy and the glorious place, because God was worshipped there, and everything associated with his worship was sacred, was holy, considered holy. So Moses, as we know, we have the history there, the account that so the Lord who appointed him to put up this place. And if we remember our Bibles, everything, it was God who gave the details, the measurements, the materials, on how they should be positioned, So that the Lord was so much concerned, because it was a place that his worship would be conducted and his service would be done. And now we are told here that the Levites were appointed to serve in the tabernacle. Already the Lord had appointed Aaron and his children to be serving as priests in the tabernacle. But then there was needed more hands to help in the service. But then the Levites being appointed to this service were to remember that it was an honor that was placed on them. It was an honor to serve the house of the Lord. And not only the honor they should think about, they were also to think of the responsibility of their honor. That it was a work that demands holiness, because everything associated with the tabernacle ought to be holy. And so it was a reminder to them that they should be people that were so keeping themselves for the Lord. And David understood this when he said in Psalm 15 verse 1, "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill?" David saying this was thinking of the tabernacle as the Lord appointed place. It's a holy, the place that the Lord himself has pleased to be among his people. And he said, "Who shall abide in thy tabernacle?" And again, I'm sure every Levite who goes there to serve was mindful of this. And if we remember, when we read the beginning of the reading, the two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, the Lord has to kill them because they misbehaved in the tabernacle. When they were to offer incense, they offered a false one, and the Lord has to take their lives. So I'm sure the Levite being called to serve and to really remind them of how they ought to indeed act and even do their things as a people sacred for the Lord. Because it was a holy duty. So the purpose, as I've just said, was to help serve in the tabernacle, to serve as a service in the tabernacle. But we know that when the temple was later built at Jerusalem, the worship and service of the Lord was transferred to that place. So at the point that the worship and service was transferred to the temple, so sometimes we have a reference, the tabernacle and also the temple of the Lord, referring to the same place where God was worshipped. And they were all places that were considered sacred. And the tabernacle or the temple of old was typical of the New Testament church. The tabernacle that was set up, and also the temple which was later brought to represent it, was typical of the type of the New Testament church which the Lord has established. And whenever we think of the tabernacle of the Lord, or the temple of the Lord in the Old Testament, this is what must come into our mind. And everything connected to it is typical of the New Testament church. Every true church of Jesus Christ is God's dwelling place. It is his house, a place where his spirit dwells. It is through every individual who is a believer is indwelled by the Spirit of God. But as a church, as a body of his people, God is pleased to dwell. And the church is called the house of God. Let me just read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 3, which reminds us of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. This apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Verse 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So, the temple, the church of Jesus Christ, is God's temple. He dwells among his people on earth, and his people in the church. And I add to you 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. First Timothy 3 verse 16. verse 15, sorry, 1 Timothy verse 15. And here was an admonition to Timothy by Paul, how even himself as a minister of the Lord, how he should even behave in the house of God. But from verse 14, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, who is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So here also the church refers to the house of God. Timothy as a pastor is being cautioned. It's being cautioned that how he ought to behave in the house of God. How much more every one of us in the house of God. And it may be a few people meeting, as long as we meet in the name of the Lord and we are true believers in Christ, we are the house of God. Where two or three have gathered in my name, they are mine in the midst of them. Often we, in that time, people often think of numbers, having many people congregated at the church. No. If only few, whatever that they are many or not, as long as they are true believers, they met under the authority of Christ, they are the house of God. And the Lord cherishes such meetings and his place to bless whatever that group does in his name. So, as the Levites were appointed to the service in the house of God, and the tabernacle, as I said, was transferred to the temple, the service and the sacrifice were, the worship was transferred to the temple. Now, the Church of Jesus Christ is the house of God, so that the Church of God doesn't need to be in any particular place, it can be anywhere. We don't need only one place to go, as in the olden time, where they have to go to maybe the Jerusalem, the mountains there, where the temple was situated. We are blessed with the Church of Jesus Christ, which has replaced the old church, so that anyone who is a believer in Christ is part of this church. And yet, how do we see this church? It is seen by the individual local churches that the Lord set up in communities, in cities, in towns, in villages, in places where his people congregate. Without that, how do we see the church of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only high priest and head of the New Testament church. You know, Moses was appointed to lead, and Aaron as the high priest, and then it went on to his descendants also went on to serve as such. But in the New Testament church, we have only one high priest, and only one priest, high priest in the church, in the New Testament church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read to you also Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So for us and for the New Testament church, Lord Jesus Christ, the high priest and also the head. And I read to you Acts chapter 10, verse 19 to 21. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. High priest over the house of God. And a high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is over the house of God. So whenever we think of the house of God, we always think of the church of Jesus Christ. Every true local church is the house of God. God is pleased to dwell among such people. And one of our hymns on prayer says that God is pleased to bless such a seeking company who meets under his command. So you see, so when we think of the Levites, the Lord choosing the Levites to serve for the service of the tabernacle, we also think of the members in the local church. It also reminds us of the members in the local church who are to serve in the church, who are to serve in the house of God. The Levites were appointed for that service, and we who are members of the local church, the true members of the local church, we are also chosen for this duty. The Church of Jesus Christ is a house of service. I'm sure each of the Levites, I mean, they were going in tents. I mean, we are arranged and each one were doing their duty at appointed times. And I'm sure whenever it was their turn, yes, I'm going to serve in the house of the Lord. I'm going to do the Lord's service. And it was something that they were always mindful of. And the whole tribe was chosen for that. And so, you know, we read that the age was from 1 year old and upwards. So that they were counted, so that by when they read the age that they can serve, they are just there to serve. And for us, we don't have that physical age, but we are brought into the service of Christ or His church in His house when we are born again. The day of our new birth, the day we were converted, is the day we were brought into the house of God to be part of His people. And so that we can never be true members if we do not serve in His house. The Levites were chosen for that from 1 year up, onward. So the day we were born again as Christians, the day the Lord converted us, changed our hearts, made us to repent of our sins, to trust in Him, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ on His work He did on the cross of Calvary, that day when we saw Him as our Savior and yielded our life to Him, we became part of His house. And then we were born into His house. And we were chosen to be part of His service. So, thinking of the Levites, it reminds us of what the Lord has also placed upon us. So that, you know, if I'm a Christian, I'm a member of the church, the Lord has chosen me. The Lord has honored me to place me in His house. And I am there to serve Him. I am else, why will I be there? I don't think of any Levite who will say, well, for me I will not serve. No, they were giving that service. See, so that it was their responsibility. And thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Psalm 22 verse 30, this verse speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a seed shall serve Him, it shall be accounted to the Lord for generation. A seed shall serve Him. And these are the spiritual race of Christ. All those that Christ will give birth to, will be through Him, God will adopt them to Himself. In every generation, they will be ever ready to serve His interest. A seed shall serve Him, and shall be accounted to the Lord for generations. The Lord will never lose, or will never lack a people to serve Him. His church, as He said, that I will build my church, and the gate of hell will not prevail against it. So you see, and when we think of the church, one of the main things we should think about is service. What is a church if the church do not serve the Lord? Who do not have that concerns to serve the Lord? Again, who is a Levite who do not serve the Lord? Then he's not a Levite, you see. So it reminds us, a seed shall serve Him. Well, the Levites were a natural seed. We are the spiritual seed of Christ. We are the true children. Yes, there were true believers in Israel who were also seen as God's people. But then, we who have been born again, we are the seed that the people, the children that must serve Him, serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and His things are our concern, you see. So that every generation, the spiritual race of Christ, those that Lord raised for Himself, that He brings them to His family, they are to serve for His interest. And when we think of it, you say that it's an honor to be numbered among those who are genuine servants in the house of God. You know, the Levites were numbered. And if we are believers, it's an honorable thing to be numbered, to be counted, to be accounted as those who serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to be counted as His people because we are part of His house. And whenever we think of the Church of Jesus Christ and ourselves being members, we should always remind ourselves of this, that it is a place where He has placed us to serve Him. And it's an honorable thing to be counted among His people, but it's also brings to our mind our responsibility. And also, so as we thought of the Levite being serving in the tabernacle, and the tabernacle itself, because the place of God, and that is the place where His worship and service are to be done, it's a holy place. The church also, the Church of Jesus Christ, being the dwelling place of the thrice holy God, must always remind us of the need of personal holiness. Are we part of the house of God? then it behoves us that we ever be mindful of personal holiness. We be those who are ever pursuing the ways of the Lord, seeking, persevering to be like Him. It reminds us that we should be those who are always persevering to be like Him. Because, you know, without holiness, no one shall see God. That's what the Bible tells us. And those who serve Him might be those who are also seeking to be holy. In Hebrews 12, verse 14, we are told, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Yes, how much more this is more demanding on us, those of us who are called to be part of His church. The Lord has called us and He has made us His people. He's Heavenly God. It always has to remind us that we ought to pursue holiness, devoting ourselves to the will of the Lord, ever desiring to progress in our walk with Him, to be ever seeking to be more sanctified in our hearts and thoughts, our motives, our words and actions. Whatever we do that are worthy to the Lord, we should never cry for Him to help us. We should never cry to Him that He should really refine us. Because it is true we all have weaknesses, but if we are among those the Lord has chosen to serve Him, we are part of the house of God, then we should be those who are ever crying to the Lord to refine us more and more. We should never entertain any habit that is displeasing to the Lord. See, sometimes people try to segregate habits, and probably the ones they think is bad. But no, so long as the Bible has taught us it's wrong, it's wrong. You see, and that if it is in our lives we are struggling, we should always cry to the Lord to help us. Because if we are believers in Christ and we have been joined to the church, we ought to be holy. It is true, we have that holiness from Christ which makes us accepted before God. But those of us who have received this grace of Christ, which the Lord has, that sanctification of Christ, which has brought us to be accepted before the Lord, we are those, by that word, it moves us to seek after holiness. It's like you taste the food and it whets your appetite. So that by the grace of God in our heart, it whets the appetite of believers to desire for holiness. So that none who is part of the house of God will just want to live his life anyhow. He is ever seeking to be holy. So the church is the dwelling place of God. And one unique thing about the Levites was that they were chosen by the Lord in place of the firstborn of Israel for this service. The Lord chose the Levites, because the Lord before consecrated the firstborn of Israel for himself. Let me read to you verse 12 and 13. But He chose the Levites to place them so that they can serve Him. And I, behold, have taken... Let me start from verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of all the firstborn that opened the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine. Verse 13, because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be, I am the Lord. So the Lord initially secured the firstborn for himself. But no, when he chose the Levites, he made them to replace the firstborn in Israel, so that whatever honor and privilege he stole the firstborn, he transferred it to the Levites. So it was a unique thing that the Lord chose them to replace the people, the children of Israel, the firstborn. And it is so with the Church of Jesus Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ is called the Church of the Firstborn. In Hebrews 12:23, to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the Judge of all, and to the Spirit of just men made perfect. The Church of Jesus Christ is called so firstborn because of our union with Christ. Christ is the by union with Him, through Him we are adopted to become God's children, and through this we are brought into this privileged state. So this title reminds us of our adoption by Christ, the firstborn, the church of the firstborn, the church meaning the church of the Son of God. The firstborn, when it is ascribed to him, has to do with his mediation work for us. As he stands in our place, he took a human nature, and he, by his death on the cross, when he was buried, he rose up, and he is the one whose nature, though his human nature, is perfect, and through that, to all who are joined to him, are brought to that special privilege. So through him, we have immortality. So it has to do with his work as our mediator, his work where he came to make us brothers and children of God. So that when we are united with Christ, we are brought into that privilege that we are co-heirs with Christ as he took a human nature. And not that we are equal with God, no. It's because he took a human nature, and it has to do with his work as a mediator through which he has brought us to God. And then he unites us to himself and makes us God's children. See, so it is a title that reminds us of our adoption by Christ. So the church of Jesus Christ, for the church of the firstborn, and also as the Levites who were taken to replace the first born of Israel, they were having that privilege, and also they had their duty. And also the church is reminded of our duty as God's children, because he has chosen us for his service. The firstborn, the church of the firstborn, it tells us of our honor, because it singles the church out from the rest of the world. And that privilege of coming in close union with the Lord, but it also tells us of our responsibility. As the Levites had that opportunity, because though they were given that privilege of the firstborn of Israel, and yet because of that privilege, they have to serve the Lord. The Lord has to use them for his service. So it is with the church, that the Lord's interest in the world is for the church to take interest in. The Lord's work in the world is for the church to work. And it reminds us that though the Lord has adopted us into the family of God, we are also given that responsibility to serve him while we are here on earth. Okay, so we have seen of the purpose for choosing the Levites, the numbering that the Lord called Moses to number them for, and the purpose of which also tells us of the church and our privilege and our responsibility. We move further to look at the allotment of the work of the Levites after the census. Because after they were chosen, the work were divided for them. And lessons for us also to learn. And I read to you verse 17. And these were the sons of Levi by their names, Gershon and Kohath and Merari. So the children of Levi, for the work was divided for them. And he had three sons. We have here Gershon and Kohath and Merari. So by these three sons of Levi, the work was divided for the service of the Lord among them. And although Moses and Aaron were of the family of the Kohathites, yet because the Lord chose them, Moses and Aaron and descendants for the priesthood of it, they were not part of the division. They were singled out, but they were of the family of Kohath, Moses and Aaron, in Numbers chapter 26, 58 to 59. Amram, who is their father, and their mother Jochebed, were from that family. So, but they were not numbered among them because they were chosen by the Lord to govern Israel and also to lead these Levites who were to serve in the tabernacle. And so they were to oversee the service of the tabernacle, but the Levites, and also to become those who will lead the people of Israel. So we will see as they were, like, as it were, overseers of the church of the Old Testament. They were to oversee, so that all who work will be with them to support them for the work. So the positions and the service of each family were also given. You see how the Lord gave details? The Lord will always give details. The position and service of the Gershonites, I'll read you from verse 21 to 26. Of Gershon was the family of the Libnites and the family of the Shemites. These are the families of the Gershonites, though that were numbered of them according to the number of all the males from a month old and upward, even though that were numbered of them were 7,500. The families of the Gershonites shall pitch, this is their position, shall pitch behind the tabernacle westward. The chief of the house of the family of the Gershonites shall be Eliasaph, the son of Lehi, and the charge, and this is their work, and the charge of the sons of Gershon, the tabernacle of the congregation, shall be the tabernacle, and the tent, the covering thereof, and the hanging for the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the hangings of the courts, and the curtains of the door of the court, which is by the tabernacle, and by the altar round about, and the course of it for all the service thereof. Sometimes you ask us of the Lord, these are the commandments of the Lord. He gave such a detail and that, such a work for them. Why would the Lord think we give him, when the Almighty God will take time to give that? The Lord is so careful about his things. Let me also read for the Kohath, verse 27 to 31. And of Kohath was the family of the Amramites. This was the father of Aaron, Moses and Aaron, and their sister Miriam. These are the family of the Amramites, and the family of the Izharites, and the family of the Hebronites, and the family of the Uzielites. These are the families of the Kohathites. In the number of all the males, from a month old and upward, were 800,600, keeping the charge of the sanctuary. The families of the sons of Kohath shall pitch on the side of the tabernacle southward. And the chief of the house of the father of the families of the Kohathites shall be Eliezer, the son of Uziel. And their charge shall be the ark, and the table, and the candlestick, and the altars, and the vessels of the sanctuary, wherewith they minister, and the hanging, and all the service thereof. So they also were given their work to be done. So this, since their work was inside the tabernacle, so that when the tabernacle was taken on, when they're coming to go, they have to get inside to get these main things, while others remove the coverings and the surrounding materials, they will get inside and also take charge of these parts of the tabernacle. I'm going to read to you also to the of the Merari. This is 37. Of Merari was the family of the Malites and the family of the Mushai. These are the families of Merari. And those that were numbered of them according to the number of all the males from a month old and upward were 6,200. And the chief of the house of the father of the families of the Merari was Zuriel, the son of Abihail. These shall pitch on the side of the tabernacle northward. And under the custody and charge of the sons of Merari shall be the boards of the tabernacle, and the bars thereof, and the pillars thereof, and the sockets thereof, and all the vessels thereof, and all that serveth thereto. And the pillars of the courts round about, and their sockets, and their pins, and their cords. You see, even the pins and the sockets, they were to take charge. Each thing should be accounted for. And this was responsibility given to the family of the Merarite. You see, the family of Merarite. So you see how the Lord was so careful with these things. And it's a lesson to us. And we see, I think 11 the east and the east, verse 38. But those that encamp before the tabernacle for the east, even before the tabernacle of the congregation eastward, shall be Moses and Aaron and his sons, keeping the charge of the sanctuary for the charge of the children of Israel, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And so we are also told of Eliezer, and verse 32, and Eliezer the son of Aaron the priest shall be charged over the chief of the Levites, and have the oversight of them that keep the charge of the sanctuary. So the family of Aaron and Moses and the children of Aaron were to oversee these Levites and their work. And as I said, the overseers of the church of old who were supervising the work. So we see that the Lord indeed gave specific roles to these Why are we reading this? Because it teaches us a lesson that when we think of the service of the Levite in the house of God under the Old Testament, it again typifies the Christian service of the New Testament, that a Christian is brought into the house of God for service. It's a type of the Christian service in the New Testament. Now, the service of the Church of Jesus Christ is not strictly after the order of the Old Testament, where these particular families are chosen, but it rather tells us that each one that is brought in, the Lord saves to his church. He has a responsibility for that person. And when we think of church, we think of the local church, not the universal church, because people sometimes say, well, they belong to the body of Christ. No. If the Lord saves us by his own wisdom, he will join us to a local church. He will put us in his local church to represent him. It is true, we are all part of the universal church of Jesus Christ, but every believer will be placed in the local church to serve the Lord, to be responsible to the Lord. So, though we see that all that given, the service, the Christian service doesn't have that strict order, I mean, it, according to the Old Testament, it's strict, but it's not as we have this the different families giving. But in the Church of Jesus Christ, we do have, the Lord doesn't relate to us by our physical being or our flesh. He relates to us because of his nature in us. So believers alone are brought into the service of the church, because they are the only people that are saved and brought into the house of God. And though not strictly as that, yet the Church of Jesus Christ has a work to do. Every church, local church, has a work to do. And what I did, I've just classified them to three here. For maintaining of God's worship for his glory, which this includes the edification of his church. The Church of Jesus Christ has to maintain his worship on earth for his glory. And that is why we are exalted in Hebrews chapter 10. And this is the exhortation, it's a command. It's not something we can just read it and we just forget. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 to 26. Let me start from verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So the assembling of ourselves, the gathering of the church, for what? For worship, and for all that the church has to do, but particularly for the worship. And the worship is for edification, because the word of the Lord is taught, and the worship itself, prayers are made, and praise are sung to the Lord. It's one of the great things for the church. The church, the Lord saves us to be brought into the church, to be part of his people who worship him. Worship is one of the greatest things, or greatest work, for the house of God. So that if we are believers, God's worship must be our priority. You see, because it is one of the work, of his people. We are saved to bring praises to his name. Yes, our life, our work, everything we do should bring praise to him. But our worship is key. And because through our worship, we get edification and all the instructions which the Lord wants us to have. Yes, we read our Bible privately, but the Lord has always promised to bless his church when we meet. Things that he has promised his church. Yes, he blesses individual life, but as a church, his blessing upon us and his dealings with us and how he uses us is far beyond our individual usefulness. So, and also for maintaining fellowship of his church. Some people, during the COVID and after the people say, well, meeting at a church is not relevant because we can have online meeting. Yes, if there's an issue where we have, but the Lord has always determined that his church should have fellowship. Yes, our worship, fellowship, and then we come. Because when we come for the word physical, we come physically, then this is realized. You see, the Lord demands that the people meet and we fellowship, worship, and How do we exhort one another if we don't meet to fellowship and worship? Of course, it's our obligation that we should exhort one another. How do we do that? Yes, we have the online meeting with the preacher, but that fellowship, the body of Christ faithful meeting, and how do we even, the church, how do we even relate with the online church? It's not possible. Which family organize their life around online meetings? So, well, a husband and wife, they are living apart and they are just communicating with internet, or children are also communicating. No, it's not a family. A family lives together. So that togetherness can never be internet. I mean, that online meeting cannot take place, replace that the need to fellowship, you see. Because when we fellowship, we meet together, it also check us, so that the devil is we're able to ward off the devil's ploys. Because as a church, I mean, as we exhort each other, we make examples, we may have so much to learn from others. As we engage ourselves in the various ministries of the church, we indeed have that kind of oneness and commitment, and then there's that kind of friendship. Yes, you see, friendship and togetherness in the things of the Lord. And again, the church also has a work of propagating the gospel in the world. This is a major work of the church. That if I'm part of the Lord's church, I should never, I will not say, well, others will go on witnessing, or others will go on vision for me, I'm not part. No! I should also ask the Lord to help me, that probably, whichever way will let me also be useful. In Matthew 28:19-20, that the command that the church should go forth and preach, well, the disciples, the apostles were favored. The church represents the continuous work which was given to the apostles. So if I am saved and brought into the church, I am always mindful of that mission. Going there for a teacher. I may not be a teacher or a preacher, but I am to be involved in that. Whichever way I should be. And in the church, as here, we have various avenues of witness. We reach out, and we are still looking for more avenues to reach out, because that's our way. So you see that none should say that for me, well, others may go, I'm not part. No, we are all part of this work. Else, as I said, we are not in the house, part of the house of God. Look at the various duties that were given to the families of Levi. I mean, the pins and sockets were people have to take responsibility for that, you see. And again, we have other duties as we have a meeting place, so many things to be done. It is us who have to do that, you see, so that some may have to go and pick their Sunday school children, some may have to go and visit them, some may have to visit the sick, it is the church that have to do, see? So that if we are part of the church, we think of where and how can I also help? And even ever not thinking of this is what I'm doing, I'm okay. No, it is our work, you see. And the Levites were always mindful, it is our work. And we are ever giving ourselves to do that. So when we think of this, at least these three things I've listed as the work of the church. When we think of these duties, it reminds us the church has much work to do. Each one of them, preparation for worship, how do we? Because we are meeting as a people, there should be preparation. Are we concerned for that? There should be, it's not that well, when am I able to go, or when I'm not, or it's not also that well, who is there? No, am I concerned for that? And the fellowship, am I concerned for the fellowship? How am I also contributing for the unity of the fellowship? How am I contributing for the fellowship of the church? I shouldn't just come and go. No, who lives in a house? He goes there. The children are there. Maybe the wife or the husband is there. He comes from work. He bathes. He sleeps. The next morning he goes. No, nobody does that in the family. How do we live as a family? There should be that genuine concern for one another. There should be that togetherness, concern, and whatever is in the house. You cannot, well, I went to the house, I came to the house, maybe there's the pipe is it's leaking, well, I go to my room and sleep. Nobody lives in a family like that, you see. So the same way in the church, our matters going on. What is my lot? I do not just have to wait till things happen. I say, oh, who did that? Who did that? No. Even before I get to that, I'm concerned. I'm willing to offer help so that it doesn't even get worse to become a problem in the church. You see? Again, let's think of this family that we're doing this. I'm not sure if some boat is moving. One of them will say, well, it's not my work. They will quickly be concerned for it. So it also tells us how each member must be concerned for the house of God. Because if the church will function, each one of us must take our share of the duties of the house of God. Again, the house where children, well, they have been assigned for a small duty probably to wash the utensils and other things. They wake up, they don't do it. I'm sure we know in the house what happens. How parents are chasing their children to do this. They wake up, they get bath and they put their bags behind them, they are going to school. Good parents will just, be smiling at the child like that. And let's also think, would the Lord be smiling at us if we neglect these things? The same way. You see, if we are God's children, He will never be happy with us if we neglect His house. Remember, Prophet Haggai, when they were building the walls, when they were rebuilding the temple, at the point the people left the way. And the Lord raised Haggai to come and tell them, you have left the house of God and look at your life. See, the same way with us. The house of God, if we are part, if we are not concerned with it, the Lord will not be happy with us. You see? So, it's something we should all be mindful of. So, we see that the appointment of the tribe of Levi was to assist Moses and Aaron in the service of the tabernacle, so that we all labor. Moses and Aaron could not do everything with the tabernacle. The same way, officers of the church cannot do everything in the house of God. All members must offer their help to the work. Officers of the church, elders, pastor, deacon, cannot do everything. They are parts which every one of us will have to play. And if we don't play our part, the church will not function. And that's the reality, you see. The same way, if the Levites were not giving to Moses and Aaron, how could they, dismantle all the tents? How could they put it on and God, they were moving from time to time and also set them up? It's not possible. You see? So the Lord has also called us for that. And not only that every member has a duty to take up maybe a responsibility in the church, but the Lord demands our commitment. It's not that we do something, but commitment. You see? The Lord wants us to be committed. Imagine that it was, the people of Israel were moving from time to time. It was a time for Israel to advance on their journey. Then the family of Merari were not ready to remove the balls of the tabernacle and the bars thereof and the pillars thereof and the socket thereof and the vessels thereof. They were not ready. How can they go? They cannot advance. Again, the same way, whatever we have to do, if we don't do, the church will not advance. We will be here for 20 years. We will remain the same. The Lord will not bless His church, a church that will not give himself to his service. Yes, we will talk so much, we will preach all the nice doctrines, but if we do not serve, the Lord will not bless his church. If we are not concerned for his word, the Lord will not bless his word. May this remind us to always be fervent in the Lord's work. Even if we think our service so many, I don't do so many, I'm not the preacher, Paul, I'm not the teacher. But whatever work it is that we do, it's a Lord's work. So long as it is done for the sake of Christ, it is God's work. You see? You know, as I mentioned, the pins and the sockets were part of the tabernacle, and we were supposed to move them. When it's time for it to be set up, they have to put these things so that the tabernacle will be wrecked again. Whereby, they go to a place, they are wrecked, and then the people have misplaced the socket. How can they set up the tabernacle for the worship of God to be done? It's impossible. Though they were insignificant, things we may say, but how can they erect the tabernacle? Yes, the altar will be there, the inner thing will be set up, but where are the sockets to cover the tabernacle, to hold them up? It will not be there. You know, the Lord honors any servant done for his sake. In Matthew 20, verse 42, these are his words. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Just a cold of water being offered to a disciple of Christ. God honors that. How much more I'm a believer in his house. Whatever work I do to support the work of the church, it is not insignificant. Yes, I may think it's insignificant, but the Lord doesn't see that. So he wants us to realize that his church is to serve him. Specifically, he appointed a Levite for this. And may we also be encouraged that since the Lord has called us to his church, he has something for us. Whatever in the church that we are part of, we may not be given specific responsibility. But so long as something has to be done, I have to do it. It's for the Lord. It's not for the pastor. It's not for the deacon or for the elder. It's for the Lord. The church is not for me or for anyone. It's for the Lord, and he has placed us in. You see? He has put us in, and each one of us accountable to him. I am accountable to him. You are accountable to him. At the day of judgment, each one of us will give account of himself to him. You see? So the Lord look upon us, and he wants us to serve him. And with the example of his choice of the tribe of Levi to serve him, always remind us of this, that we are the house of God, and that we are given a responsibility also to serve in the house of God. And that may the Lord help us to be able to serve him, and for to serve him till our dying day when he takes us to be with him out of this world. May the Lord help us as we think about this thing.